Good morning. I'd like to talk about the agronomic performance of an experiment we did looking at cover crop-based corn production. And it was a collaboration between the University of Maryland, my home institution, the USDA ARS, and now some people who have moved on to some other institutions who I don't see in the audience, but who should be here. Oh, no, she is. Okay. So in particular, we were looking at the effect of these high-residue no-till systems using cover crops. And we found that cover crops can generate very different amounts of biomass and nitrogen over the winter. An interesting result from the previous presentation was that the mixture produced less biomass or took up less N, and we found that not to be the case. We were looking at the combination of hairy vetch and cereal rye, which obviously the hairy vetch fixes its own nitrogen. And you see that the mixture produces a large amount of biomass, and then that biomass persists throughout the season. Whereas pure hairy vetch monoculture has a very low C to N ratio, decomposes rapidly, and so then there's less on the surface throughout the season. And we were also interested in this novel application method of dry manure solids, subsurface banding. Subsurface banding of manure is really important for reducing pea erosion and ammonia volatilization. And so this implement is loaded with pelletized poultry litter, which is then gravity-fed down these hoses into assemblies that go halfway between each corn row. And you can see that it drops out of the hose that's on the right, and this disc ahead of the hose cuts open a slit about 2 centimeters wide, 10 centimeters deep, and drops the poultry litter in, and then there's a packing wheel which closes the trench. And so you end up with a really nice tight band of poultry litter that persists throughout the season. This is a 15 centimeter soil core to give you a little bit of scale. But even this was about a month after application, and you can see that it stays in one nice tight pocket. We looked at two different sites in suburban Washington, D.C. On our north farm, it was primarily organically managed, and then our south farm was more intensively managed. The primary difference is that the north farm received no herbicide, no irrigation, and no mineral fertilizer, and the south farm had all three of those. It was a strip plot design. So we planted our cover crops all across in fall and then came back in the spring, used a roller crimper to terminate the cover crops, and planted our corn and then applied our fertility treatments at a 90-degree angle. At each site, we had 3 years of data, and each year of data was a new adjacent field, so we didn't have a legacy effect of previous treatments. Plots were 8 corn rows wide, and we had between 42 and 49 treatment combinations at the two different sites. Both of them were silt loams with similar organic matter and bulk density. The cover crops we planted in a replacement series, ranging from the cereal rye monoculture over to the hairy vetch monoculture, and we planted these independently in separate passes to get the most control over the seeding rate. And then we also had a control treatment that received no seeding, and it was maintained weed-free on the intensive site with glyphosate and with cultivation on the organic site. And you'll see this x-axis structure throughout the talk, so hopefully it will be clear that these were the sown proportions of seeds, not necessarily the achieved biomass proportions. And so we see that there was a wide range of N that was generated from or contained within these cover crops. So this is the above ground residue. And even the pure cereal rye has, you know, up to 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which is pretty substantial. But in the right panel, you see the carbon to nitrogen ratio of the above ground residue. And the rye dominated mixtures are well into the net immobilization range. And so you're going to see a lot less of that N available to the cover or to the cash crop in the subsequent season. And then, of course, as we expect, the more vetch you add into the system, the more N is contained within the biomass and the more readily available it is. So that this was at termination. So we ran the roller crimper and then applied our fertility treatments either at planting or in late June at side dress, which was corn stage V5, V6. And we were particularly interested, like I said, in this subsurface banded poultry litter. So we applied five different rates. We had an unfertilized starter fertilizer only, a low input rate, a rate based on the P content of the poultry litter and the anticipated P removal rate, the N content of the poultry litter and the anticipated N removal rate, as well as an excessive rate. And then within that, we had certain contrasts that we wanted to look at application methods. So at the P-based rate, we also looked at broadcast poultry litter at planting, as well as tillage-incorporated poultry litter at planting. And then at the N-based rate, we compared with surface application of urea ammonium nitrate. And that was only on the intensive site, which was the non-organic site, and likewise the low input was only at the organic site. As we would expect, there was a non-linear response of corn yield to total nitrogen input. So here on the x-axis, I have total nitrogen input, the applied subsurface banded poultry litter, plus any N contained in the above ground or cover crop residue. And this is not adjusted for C to N ratio. So this doesn't account for how much N we would actually expect to get out of either of those sources. But they were relatively consistent relationships, and they were best fit with a three-parameter logistic model where I held yield potential to be consistent within site years, but allowed it to vary between site years. And you can see that the individual regression lines are the cover crop treatments that we applied, and that they mostly aggregate towards one central relationship. But there were a couple of interesting outliers where one treatment was different from the group that segregated out. For example, the cereal rye had a lower yield at all rates of N on the organic site in 2014. And then in the intensive site in 2013 and 2014, either the hairy vetch or the bare ground was higher. So this is preliminary, but it was an interesting result. I think there's going to be some more interesting statistics to come out of this relationship. And this is not including any of the other application methods or some of the other details that we could use to adjust these. The intention of using these cover crops to supply N to the cash crop and so then supplement the N available from the poultry litter. To evaluate that, we looked at the bare ground grain N and compared that to the grain N that we would see under these cover crop regimes in unfertilized plots. So none of these points received poultry litter or other fertilizer. And you can see that, as you would expect, there's some grain deficit for pure cereal rye due to immobilization and some grain surplus from the pure hairy vetch. And then there's a continuous response surface in between. What's really striking is the difference between the two sites here. At the organic site, it appears that we have much higher N supply due to the cover crop, but that's really because we're underestimating the soil N supply. Our estimate for the soil N supply at the organic site is only 40 to 70 kilograms of nitrogen. And the problem there is that our bare ground treatment was severely water stressed at many points during the season, whereas even without the added nitrogen from the cover crop, the physical presence of the cover crop conserves soil moisture and increases your yield potential. But the intensive site was irrigated, and so we didn't have that stress. And so you saw much less of an effect, and instead those are sort of centered around zero. The organic site actually received more rainfall during the growing season, 34 and 29 centimeters, than the intensive site, but we more than made up that difference with irrigation. Application method also differed in effect by site. So these regression lines are the broadcast, incorporated, and subsurface banded poultry litter at the P-based rates. So that's between 68 and 80 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And you can see that, in general, it was a fairly close relationship between them, but that the subsurface banding and broadcast outperformed the incorporated on the organic site. And again, that's due to water stress. When we tillage incorporate poultry litter, we're also disrupting that cover crop residue and incorporating it within the soil profile. And so then there's no cap on the surface to slow down evaporation. Whereas on the intensive site, there wasn't that water stress, and so even the tillage incorporated performed well. But that said, on the organic site, all of those regression lines differ significantly. And in the intensive site, the quadratic and linear terms are not significantly different, but the intercepts are, where subsurface banding increased yield relative to broadcast or incorporated poultry litter. The bare ground is sort of separate from that regression, and you can see that on the intensive site that it's intermediate between the cover crops, which is sort of what we would expect if there's no water stress, and there was no difference between the application methods for the bare ground. However, on the organic site in the top panel, we found that the tillage incorporated poultry litter performed better under the bare ground and worse with the subsurface banded. And I don't have a satisfying explanation for that, but I suspect that mineralization out of that nutrient-dense band is limited when there's very little soil moisture. And this is in contrast to the effect of mineral fertilizer, which was actually, we didn't observe one. Poultry litter, at the subsurface banded poultry litter supplied just as much and achieved just the same yield as the conventional mineral fertilizer under all cover crop treatments. And so then that brings us to the main metric that people use to evaluate cropping systems, which is nitrogen use efficiency. And it's really difficult to interpret in a system like this where we know that we are underestimating or overestimating the soil N supply. So here I'm using the definition of NU as grain N minus soil N over applied N, and we're getting numbers in 150%, which is obviously not biologically plausible. So again, that comes back to the fact that we are underestimating the soil N part of the equation, and then also that we are adding additional N from the vetch biomass. But we see that effect is depressed at the P-based rate, and then at the N-based and excess rates, those are much more reasonable NUE estimates of between 30 and 50%. But I was surprised at how tight some of the relationships were at these higher rates, especially compared to the low inputs where you see our error bars are plus or minus 50%. So our main objective in finding out could cover crop mixtures supply N in supplement to other fertilization schemes? Yes, they can. Mixtures that were greater than 60% hairy vetch improved corn yield under all rates of poultry litter and all application methods. But there was this strong water by N interaction where subsurface banding increased yield when there was no water stress, mitigated either by the presence of surface residue or by additional water through irrigation. And it provided equivalent fertility to UAN at this irrigated site. We don't know if it would provide the same utility at a non-irrigated site. And the NUE is difficult to interpret in cover crop-based systems because your estimates of site fertility are so biased by the water stress. So we would next like to look at the synchrony throughout the season. We did this research for 3 years ending earlier this year, and so we have a backlog of soil samples and sensor data and lots of more information to go through. And we also want to look at the availability of residual N from subsurface banded PL in subsequent years and see if that pocket affects the decomposition over the years. And thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Time for one quick question while Claire is getting ready to come up.
Yes.
How long have the cover crop treatments been with the existing cover crop?
No. So these were a new rotation every year on a site that had a uniform corn, soybean, wheat rotation. And so we had a previous crop, applied our cover crop treatments in September, and so there was just that 1 year of effect.
Okay. Thanks again.